I was thinking while we were singing, how about we start by coming to God in prayer and then we'll have a look at God's Word. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we can come here tonight and in this fashion, and Lord, allow you to minister to our heart and soul through your Word. And I pray that you would be with your Word, that you'll use it as you see fit. Give me wisdom as I preach. And Lord, I pray that we would find something that we can apply to our life today, and Lord, use it as building blocks for tomorrow as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are still in the wilderness wanderings, and so could you please turn to Exodus chapter 18. We had started in chapter 18 last Sunday night, and we saw last Sunday night how Moses got a visit from his father-in-law. And Jethro came and he met Moses there at the foot of Mount Sinai, and he brought Moses' wife and Moses' two children with him. And we saw last week how they met one another. They went into the tent and they spent time talking about all the wonderful things that the Lord had done for Moses and for the children of Israel, and how this was an exciting time. And it cemented in the minds of Jethro that Jehovah was truly the one and only God. Now, after the excitement of Jethro and his wife and children arriving, the next day we discover that Moses is back to business. You know how when you have rallies come, it's all exciting, you have time, you talk. But a lot of times, the next day, you've got to go off and get back to work and you've got to leave them behind and so on. Well, for Moses, he had to go back to work. Now, this might make you wonder, well, what on earth did Moses and the children of Israel do every day, all day? They were living in tents in the desert. They had their food and water provided for them by God. I suspect they weren't washing their clothes. We know that they didn't wear out, we're told. And so what did Moses and all the people do every day? Well, I'm not too sure what the million or so Israelites did, but we do know what Moses did. And we read there in verse 13, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening." And so from the morning to the evening, Moses judged the people. Now this also gives me a good indication of what the people did all day as well. I'm guessing there was a lot of idleness amongst the people. They didn't have jobs, as I said. They didn't have to hunt for their food. There was a lot of time doing nothing. And usually, the only thing idleness produces is discontentment and sin. If you're not aware of it, we know that idleness was one of the main causes for the wickedness found in Sodom. Let me read Exodus chapter 16, verse 49, where we read, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her." And so the men of Sodom, we're told, were proud. They had an abundance of food, and so they didn't have to work much to do anything. And it says an abundance of idleness. They had a lot of time on their hands, and this idleness led to selfish, depraved behavior. Idleness can cause a lot of problems. We know that idleness is addressed in the New Testament when it came to widows. Widows who had lost their husband when they weren't really that old. And it led to idleness. And the sin that was manifested with these widows in that state was them telling tales, being busybodies and gossiping. And so idleness is not good for anyone. It's good to be busy and have things to do. And I believe God understood this. And he knew that when there is lots of spare time, we usually allow our selfish, sinful flesh to have its way, either in being morally wicked or verbally wicked in the case of the widows. And so generally when there's nothing to do, there's a lot of complaining and sinful behavior. And you know, at this time when some of us or many people don't have as much to do, we're not as busy in certain areas. Now, I don't want to upset mums who has to do remote learning at the moment, and you probably think you're busier than ever, but for a lot of people, there's a lot of idleness, not doing as much as what you might have been doing. And in these times, we have to be very careful because it can lead to a lot of sinful, selfish behavior, moral wickedness, verbal wickedness, and a lot of problems can come to pass because of this. And it appears that this was the case with the children of Israel as well. There was a lot of time of idleness. And so what was the produce, or what did that produce? A lot of complaining, a lot of arguments, a lot of disputes. And that led to Moses being a very busy man because people would bring their complaints and their disagreements and their problems to Moses. And he would have to judge them. He would be the mediator between this person and that person and work out who had done the wrong thing and who was right and how to solve this problem between the two. And so we get the idea what the people did all day as well. They fought with each other. And then they stood for long periods of time waiting to be judged by Moses to see who was in the right and who was in the wrong. And I can imagine Moses sitting on a rock with a huge line, maybe 200 or 300 meters long, with people standing there waiting in the hot sun so they could speak to Moses so he could sort this other person out next to them. Hopefully it wasn't a husband and wife coming. Hopefully it was disputes with someone in the other tent. But who knows who it was. But he was there to judge between the people. It says he sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. That's a long time to be waiting around. And while this was going on, Jethro, who had come for a visit, was watching, seeing this taking place, shaking his head, and was a little concerned. And this brings us to our first point, which is the concern of Jethro in verses 14 to 18. Let me read verses 14 to 16. It says this: "And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, 'What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even?' And Moses said unto his father-in-law, 'Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws.' And so Jethro saw what was taking place, and like all good fathers and all good father-in-laws, he couldn't help to give Moses some advice. I say good fathers and father-in-laws because I know that's what I do. And it's generally very hard not to give some advice when you think there's advice needed. Now, this advice wasn't asked for, but just because it wasn't asked for doesn't mean it wasn't good advice. And in verse 17, Jethro says, it says, "And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, 'The thing that thou doest is not good.'" Moses, what you're doing here, is this isn't good. I can see some problems here. And he goes on in verse 18, "Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." And so Jethro could see two potential problems. The first potential problem was Moses was going to wear himself out if he continued to do this all on his own. The load was too heavy for him. And you think about this, if he spent all day judging the people, when does he get time to spend with the Lord? When does he get time to spend with his family that arrived? When does he get time to spend with the people in a nice way? If he continued the way that he was going, he would have burnt himself out. There is only so much a person can do, and this applied to Moses as well. He wasn't some super righteous man who was able to do things beyond measure than other people. No, he suffered the same way we suffer. And Jethro could see, you keep that up, Moses, and you're going to burn yourself out. And I think it's a good reminder for us. You know, it's obvious that we're not doing a real lot here at Golden City Baptist Church. We're not coming to church. We're not busily doing various ministries. There are a bit of a skeleton crew and various things, but we're not serving the Lord the way we normally would at Golden City Baptist. But when things go back to normal, I think it's very important to make sure none of us do too much and spread ourselves thin. You know, we all need to remember that we have family commitments, we have work commitments, we have church commitments. And it's very important to make sure that there is a right balance between them all. You know, I'd rather not have a ministry than to make people work more than what they really should and feel obligated to serve, and they end up struggling to do so. When you have people doing too much, it makes for an unhappy church. That's all it does. From the outside, they might say, wow, there is a church that's got so many things on. It's a busy working church. That's amazing. And to the outsider, it might look like this is a wonderfully happy church. But you only have to scratch the surface to most of those churches, and you discover that there's a lot of tired people who are frustrated and unhappy. Why? They're being stretched too much. You know, when I was just about finished Bible college, I was sitting in my father's study, and I was telling him all the plans that I had once I finished Bible college. And at that stage, I was involved in just about every ministry that my church had going, apart from the ladies' ministries. And Dad gave me a piece of advice. I must admit, I did ignore for a while, but I saw the wisdom in it as time went on. He said to me, Alan, I've seen a lot of young men come out of Bible college all guns blazing. And they do lots. They do as much as they possibly can, and they do it for 7 to 10 years, and then usually they fall in a heap. And he said, Alan, the Lord needs people who will serve him for 10, 20, 30, 40 onwards years and continue to do the work. And so don't burn yourself out in the first 10 years. That's not beneficial to anybody. And Dad had been in the ministry for well over 40 years by that time, so I do believe he knew what he was talking about. And I believe that's very wise advice that I'll pass on to each one, because this type of advice applies to anybody who serves in a local church, not just pastors. And so can I encourage you to make sure in this time that you pray to God and seek His will to how much He really wants you to be serving in the local church. And if He shows you that you've been doing too much and you haven't been balancing your commitments correctly, can I encourage you to make the adjustment when we do go back to normal? Because I know that when things are running as usual here, there are a lot of people willing to help in a lot of different ways. And I admit I'm very thankful for that. There's a lot of pastors who have to pass the churches where no one wants to put up their hand to do anything. So I am very thankful for people wanting to serve. Thank you to those that serve in one way and serve in youth group and serve in Sunday school, and those who are willing to preach and lead here on a Sunday, and those who are willing to be involved in the ministry. Some pastors have to do all of that. Thank you to those that are willing to clean the church and help in that, and those who are willing to cook meals, and the list could go on of people who are willing to serve in this church. But be careful not to overstretch yourself and burn yourself out when you come back, or get so tired that you have a bad attitude doing it, because that doesn't help anyone. And Jethro could see that even Moses, who God used in some miraculous ways, was still simply a human being, and if he kept doing the things that he was doing, he was going to burn himself out. And so he warned him. He said, "Thou wilt surely wear away." But not only would he wear himself out, he could see that a second problem, and that was the people would get upset with Moses. It says, "Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee." And so how are the people going to wear away when they're not doing anything? Well, this is talking about wearing away in the sense they will wear thin of Moses and get sick of Moses. If he is the only one that they can go to and he's there and they have to wait for hours on end from day to night and maybe not even get to see him before they can discuss these things that they want to talk to Moses, they're going to get very angry with him after a while. Moses is too busy for us. I won't even bother going to him. We'll sort it out. I won't even bother sorting it out. I'll just do what I want. And so because Moses was so busy doing more than what he should have been doing, he not only was going to wear himself out, the very people that he loved and wanted to help could possibly have turned on him. Because the way he was doing this, no one was going to end up being happy. And you know, I know that a pastor isn't the judge of a church in the same way that Moses was judge over Israel. But I do know that when there are problems, people having problems in the local church or just problems in the church, generally they want to meet with the pastor. And I know that I need to make sure that I'm not too busy to be able to meet with you. I want to be able to help when help is needed. I want you to feel as though you can come to me when I have concerns and you want to discuss that. As a young man, I knew of a pastor who, when someone in his congregation wanted to meet with him, he'd say, "Let me check my diary." And it would take over a month before he would slip you in somewhere. Now, I think that is absolutely ridiculous. And I know for myself, when someone wants to talk, I try to meet you that day or the next day or as quickly as possible. Sorry if I haven't done that for you, but I know that's what I try to do. And I do that. One reason is I know that when people don't get listened to, they start to get upset. And that is, I'm not saying it's right, but that's how it has been from the very beginning of the church. You know, even in the early church, the apostles had that problem. We read in Acts 6, verse 1, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multitude, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." And so as the church grew, it seems as though there were some, the Greek widows, weren't getting the same benefits as the Hebrew widows. And so they were getting missed. And so what was the response? They began to murmur and complain against the leadership. So what was the solution? Was the solution the apostles just needed to stretch themselves a bit more and burn themselves out? Well, no. The solution was to get people to help. Verse 2, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And so they said, it's of no benefit to you for us to stop doing what we're meant to be doing. And so what was the solution? Get others who are gifted in that area. And they said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And so they got men who the Lord had gifted in other ways to share the load. That was the solution. And what was the result? Verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And so because the apostles couldn't give themselves to everything, they thought it best to stick to what God had gifted them to do and get others to bear the load with them. That was the solution. And what was the result of that? Well, the word of God increased and the disciples or people getting saved multiplied. And so it's important the pastor isn't expected to do everything. And I know this isn't the case here because I do get a lot of help. But if a pastor is the church cleaner, he's the one who mows the lawn, he sets up the tables, he drives the bus, if he's the secretary, the treasurer, and the only preacher, there is no way he's going to be able to be the pastor that he ought to be. And so there is a need to share the load so they are there available. And the reality is for me, if I want to do my job properly, I need you to do the things that God has called you to do. If you think I'm not very accessible, and when I ring and you want something, I don't come, maybe it's because I have to do so many other things, I can't get around to it. Maybe that's the case. But the way to make sure that that doesn't happen is, I need you to do what God has gifted you to do. If he's gifted you to teach, well then teach. If he's gifted you to preach, then preach when those opportunities come. If he's gifted you to serve, then serve. Or if he's gifted you to lead or to help or whatever it may be, make sure that you're doing what God has gifted you to do. Then the work of God will flourish. And Jethro could see that Moses needed help. Otherwise, he's going to burn himself out and the people are going to get upset with him because he's not very accessible. And so what we see in verses 19 to 23 is the counsel of Jethro. So he pulls Moses aside and he whispers in his ear. Verse 19, hearken now unto my voice. I'll give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God commanded thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all this people shall also go to their place in peace. And so if you do this, take my advice, you're going to be able to cope, and also people will go home happy. And so there are two pieces to this wise advice that Jethro gave Moses. He first of all advises him to teach the people the things of God. Teach the people so they know God's word, they know God's ways, and so they can work out a lot of this stuff themselves. I was once told by a pastor, do most of your counseling from the pulpit by teaching people the word of God. And if you teach people the word of God and they listen and learn, they should know how to work things out mostly by themselves. And I think that's good advice. And I praise the Lord. I found that to be the case mostly in our church. And this is what Jethro told Moses to do. Teach them God's word so they know what to do themselves. But the second part of it was he told them to get others to help him do the work. Yes, Moses, you're the leader, but there are many things that you don't need to be occupying yourself with. You need to get other men to help you share the load. And so he was to delegate things to other people. And I found in my time there are two things needed when it comes to delegation. One, there must be a willingness to delegate and trust people. And sometimes that is the problem of pastors. They don't want to trust anyone with anything. They feel as though unless they're doing it, it won't be done properly. And so they want to do everything. They have to be the only preacher. They have to be the youth group leader and the kids club leader and the Sunday school teacher. They have to do everything because they think unless they're doing it, it won't be done properly. And so there needs to be a degree of trusting others to do their part as God has gifted them. But the other important thing that's needed for delegation to work is people must be willing to help. You know, if Moses went and said, okay, I've just been given this great idea. I'm not going to do it all myself. I need other men that have proven themselves to be judges as well. And so who's keen? Raise your hand if you're willing. And no one puts up their hand. Well, this whole great idea is going to break down, isn't it? For there to be delegation, people have to be willing to put up their hand. And, you know, sometimes pastors don't delegate because there's no one putting up their hand. They ask for someone, come and tell me if you're willing to do something, and no one comes. And so then you're forced to go and ask people, and you feel bad about that because surely if they really wanted to do it, they would have come and said so. And then when you do go and ask, it feels like you're squeezing them like there's no tomorrow. Oh, I guess so. It gets very hard. You know, the reality is, if we all do a bit, no one has to do everything. But for this to happen, people need to put up their hand. Say, look, I'm willing. If there's anything you want me to do, I'm happy. Or when there's announcement where there's need for something to be made, food to be made or cleaning to be done, if you put up your hand, well, then it's easy to delegate. Let me ask you this question. You know, when things do go back to normal here at Golden City Baptist, what will you have to start doing again? Or has nothing actually changed for you? Yeah, we don't meet, but you haven't had to stop anything because you don't actually do anything. You know, what I do know is that God has gifted you. And what I also know is God does want you to serve his body, the local church. And so can I encourage you in this time to find out what God actually wants you to start doing if you haven't been doing anything? So that when we do come back, you can help share the load. You know, that was the advice that Jethro gave his son-in-law. Share the load. Delegate. And that meant he had to trust people and people had to be willing to put up their hand. And what we see, lastly, is the compliance to Jethro. And I think this is important to take note of. Here we see the meekness of Moses, how he wasn't a proud man. Because get this, Moses would be in his 80s by now. So he's not some young whippersnapper that's never done this before, and he's just a young man of 20 or something. Remember also that he has been used in a spectacular way to go up against Pharaoh, and with God's help and miracles, he was used to lead the people out of Egypt. No one would ever have done that before. He had spoken to God personally a number of times. And here he is, the leader of all these people. And then father-in-law turns up, and the next day he's giving advice. Moses, what you're doing is all wrong. You can do it a much better way than this. Now, if he had an ounce of pride, I suspect he would have found that a hard pill to swallow, particularly from his father-in-law. And if he knew, even knew his father-in-law was right, if he was proud, he probably would have said, look, you don't know what you're talking about. And even if he knew he was right, he wouldn't have agreed to it, because he wouldn't have liked to be told what to do. But we see that Moses was a meek man, not proud. And it appears he saw the wisdom, because we read in verses 24 to 26 the compliance to Jethro. It says, so Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, just like Jethro said. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And so Jethro gave some good advice. And I'm sure it helped Moses. And I'm sure it helped the people too. And it stopped them from getting so frustrated with Moses. And so what can we learn from this and take for ourselves? Well, it's true that at this time, many who served the Lord of Golden City Baptist are having a good break. And my encouragement to you is to enjoy it. Right? Enjoy it. Take the good with the bad and enjoy the break. Just make sure that your idleness in serving the Lord doesn't cause you to stray from the Lord. That's the first thing. Enjoy the break, this forced break. Make sure it doesn't cause you to stray from the Lord. But when we do come back, please be wise to make sure that if you had been stretching yourself too much and doing too much, come and talk to me so that we can make sure you can serve the Lord in a manner where you can fulfill all your duties and you can do it with the right heart. Pray and see what God wants you to be doing, and come back and serve in a manner that is not too stretched if you've been doing that. But the flip side is, when we do come back, can I encourage you to come back and do something? Do something. Help share the load. Why? Well, because God wants you to, for starters. He's gifted you and he wants you to minister to the body. But also do it so the word of God will increase. And not only that, that the disciples, that is, believers, will be multiplied here at this church. And if we all do our part, and we all serve the Lord the way that we are meant to be serving, well, one, I won't be burnt out, but I will be available to do what I should be doing, and I'll have plenty of time to do it properly. And we all will be able to serve the Lord in a manner that pleases him. And so I encourage you to take the advice from Jethro that he gave to Moses and apply it to your life, even today, so many hundreds of years since it was first given. And so I trust that's been a blessing to you, and I trust you might have learnt something tonight. So we're going to pray and then we'll sing one more time. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we can stop and consider your word. And Lord, thank you that you are not just interested in us serving, but you're interested in us serving well. And Lord, sometimes that might mean doing less than what we have been doing, so that we can do what we do well and leave other things to other people. And Lord, I pray that we would serve you in a manner that pleases you. We'll do it with the right attitude. And that, Father, we would see people glorified, your name glorified through people when our church gets back meeting the way it was in the past. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.